Hey guys, Shane here. I just wanted to say thank you, as always, for listening to the Crow Pod. And if you like what we do here and want to help us out, you can go to anchor.fm/CrowPod and click on the support button. You got three different options there, 99 cents, $4.99, and $9.99 monthly contribution. Anybody who does the $4.99 level, you get one live read per month on air, or, you know, like on the main show for your business or charity or whatever you got going on. If you do the $9.99, we'll give you a live read every single episode of the main show. So every single week on the main Crow Pod, we'll give you a shout out for your business or charity or whatever you got going on. So just like I said, you go to anchor.fm/CrowPod, click on support, and we'll get that message out to all of our listeners every single week. And that goes out not only on the Crow Pod Network, but on the Heart and Hand Network as well. Crow Pod, and of course, joining me, Shane, Mr. David Edgar. Hello, David.
Hello, Shane. Hello, everyone. I should be packing to go to Lyon right about now, but I'm not packing.
What's happening?
To go to Lyon because the French are the fucking French. And look, those of you listening to this show will know that, and we've been quite often abused for being three lily-livered liberal left-wing types. And you know that we're progressive, and you know we try and watch our language about, you know, the way we describe people. There's going to be a fair old amount of xenophobia in here today, and I don't mean that we're going to be criticizing Lucy Lawless, right? There's going to be
frog
some
leg jokes.
Right. Well, you know, you guys know that I won't, you know, reach for cheap World War II.
Hey, look, if you're going to defend your border, you should only pick one small portion of it and leave the rest of it completely open.
See, don't worry. The next time the Germans go for a wander to the West, don't fucking phone me, France. Right? That's all I'm saying. Don't fucking pick up the phone to us. But, you know, the other thing about it is, I'll introduce Todd because I've got a theory about how we can
solve
this, genuinely.
Hi!
I'm Ian Allen. Hello.
It's a pleasure to be here. I really can't decide whether this whole thing is Argo Bargle or Foofarol. I can't.
It's about both.
I think so.
Can it be Foofabargle?
Foofabargle or Argoral?
Argoral. That sounds like a Lord of the Rings character.
Yes, it does. I believe he was the guy that gave Frodo a boost to get up to the Ring of Fire there.
He was the guy that said to Frodo, it's like, oh my God, your lack of shoes is fabulous.
Yes.
about when the four of them finally come out.
At what point during that journey did one of them just go, still no shoes, huh? Honestly. Because, like,
you know what would have made this easier, lads? Yeah, shoes.
Well, or you know, maybe just getting on the giant birds that could fly all the way across. Mm-hmm. Instead of walking,
taking that tree.
Yeah, my problem with it. When I first watched the Lord of the Rings movie, I was in the company of a girlfriend at the time that adored like fantasy stuff, like just like,
oh,
like had like, not
sorry.
That don't no no it's not the you're the wrong wizard staff you're thinking of. She was very much into the world of the Lord of the Rings and you know, knights and dwarves and elves and that sort of thing. And we came out of the movie and I'm just kind of keeping quiet. And she's like, so what did you think? And I was like, it was so racist. And she's like, what? And I'm like, of course the elf is an archer. Jesus Christ. Why don't you get an Indian guy in a convenience store? It is so true to type. Oh, a little Napoleonic syndrome there with the dwarf because he's got it. Yeah, just, oh my God, so goddamn just stereotypical. And we didn't last much longer after
only
that.
We didn't have source material that we could have known that from before we went to the movie. I mean,
exactly.
No,
exactly.
I got dragged to the movies. It was like a long-running bone of contention with me and my dad. Right? There were three things in my life that my dad wanted from me. One was to be a Rangers supporter. Tick. Okay. One was to like check. The Beatles. Check. Okay. Right? Yep. The third one was to like Lord of the Rings, which he loves, and I don't. I fucking right. hated it.
Yeah, right? Two out of three ain't bad. That's a meatloaf song. You can take that to a meatloaf.
But, no, me and my mum love meatloaf. My dad is not a fan. And so we... yeah.
I love meatloaf, but only as an actor.
Yeah, well, I love that.
Sandwiches. Sandwiches are good.
And sandwiches.
You but, don't yes. like Bat Out of Hell?
Here's my thing with Bat Out of the Hell. It was everywhere. And
so fucking should have been.
Yeah, well, fine. It was like white bread. Jokes. You go to the shelves. Yeah, I get it. And there was a cycle. There was like a 5-year cycle that the women in now women, they were girls then. The girls in the high school, they went through this 5-year cycle of it would be Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, which would be played at every school dance about 6 months. And they would all gather in a circle and they would divide into two teams, one that was going to do the lady part and one that was going to do the meatloaf part.
Yep.
And so they would scream it at each other. And every guy in the is was just like, let's go smoke, I guess. Yeah. And then the next cycle, which would happen about 2 years later, but also in a 5-year turn, was Grease. Medley.
Yeah.
So it'd be that same thing happened.
I hate the medley.
Down onto the thing. One was Olivia Newton-John. The other was John Travolta, and they would sing it at each other. And every guy just looked at it, going, "We're not needed here." And that's how we discovered that they all had vibrators, and we were immaterial. So
I'll grant you that. But we did go and see. I took my mum to see Meatloaf on his last tour, and there are a few rock shows these days where you will get a 60-foot inflatable of what appears to be a young man copying a feel of a lady's breast, but if you go and see Meatloaf, you will get that, and it still feels up. There are a few things that you can do that. But yeah, right, okay, here's my theory about France and how to sort it.
We go from Meatloaf to France, they'll love that.
Absolutely right. I go from something good to France now. Firstly, it still pisses me off that we gave back France and Germany to the French and Germans, because that's
twice. Oh, you're going way back. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to take a good sip off my coffee. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, that's twice now we've won it, and it's the equivalent of twice having won the raffle and telling them to redraw it. Okay? So there's that. It's ours. We own it. Anyway, right? And due to the kindness of our hearts, you guys too, right? You know, due to the kindness of all of our hearts, us and the Ivans,
No. We got Quebec. We're fine. We got enough French over here. You can have our part.
No. We didn't want the French. We wanted France, and we should have filled it with fucking Butlins and holiday camps and things and places that sell bad wine and bad cheese, right? And that would have been less.
So Quebec, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, right. To up their game, but the way I see it, Leon Fufarol and Argo Bargo, but. What is the point of having nuclear weapons if you don't ever use them? They're just sitting about at this point. Now, there's a match fitness element to this, right? So why don't we treat France as like a cup game? The John McLaughlin nuclear weapon, where it needs a run out. You know, you're not too bothered about the performance, really. Just so long as, you know, go out there, do some damage, come back in. That's kind of my plan for Leon. The rest of France, not too bothered about.
See, I think if we're going to go the nuclear option, then we sign like Beasley and Kuzan on a one-day contract and just you know, remind them. Remind
Mikhailchenko
them of what we can
as well. Kuznetsov. Let's you know, and I know they're Ukrainian, but they're technically from the USSR. So, it's been annoying as all fuck. I am delighted to confirm, though, that I definitely don't have COVID. And the reason I know
that's
this
a plus, cause you've is taken because 4,000 tests.
Good.
£150 British pounds. to pay for two tests, one before I went out. Then I go to the test centre yesterday, and it's 2 fucking hours to get through the test centre. But that, you know, that's okay. Did that.
Sure.
And then get home to find out that they won't let us in. And then wake up today to be told, actually, they will let you in, but we cancelled all the corporate stuff and the jets and everything yesterday, so you still can't go unless you scramble about last minute to go. And at this stage now, I'm just, you know, like, fuck it. And also, that people don't think of people like me who can't do spur-of-the-moment stuff, okay? Someone said to me today, well, you know, they're organising this flight. I can't. I have to have in my head what I'm doing. You know, I have to plan it out. I can't
now just... You could get lost. God knows you don't
want to
get lost.
You and I are of the same cloth, and nothing drags the needle across my record more than when I have the plan for the day and something fucks it up.
Yeah. And I
can't, like, look, recording at 9:05 in the morning. Like, that's
Shane and his jazz recording style today, when he just wanted us all to jam.
No, see, my actual plan was, we're going to do it like the old show. We're doing 4.5 fucking hours.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't have any fucking better on this week now, do I? But, so
I'm not at 10:35, I got to record.
Yeah, 150 quid for tests.
Oh, God. Okay.
The other side of it is, though, that it's our heart in hand Christmas day out on Saturday, right? Understandable, yeah. Good time to do it, I think. And obviously I was due back early hours Friday morning, and you do legally have to get another test. Yep. So I had it booked, right, and I was gonna go and get it tested, not come out until I got the results, right? And then that way, if any of the group, because none of them would say anything to me, I know that, right? You know, none of them would go, actually, David, I'm a wee bit concerned. And let's face it, a heart and hand day out, you really want me to be at it. Because, you know, rest of them, exactly.
Yeah.
Look, I don't like to say it often, but every so often, well, I do say it quite often. In fact, I actually send them Christmas cards with that in it. But, nice. You know, I'm the star, I'm the turn, I'm the talent. So, but what I was going to do is, and this is true, my test booked, I was going to go, wait for the results to come in on the Saturday, and they arrive today early. They promise you them by midnight the next day, but probably in the morning, and that's what happened here. So I was going to go, wait, get the results. If negative, which probably would be, turn up and say, hi, everybody, look, just in case anyone was worried, here are my results. Then I went to test centre yesterday, and it took 2 hours. And I thought, there's no fucking goddamn way I'm coming back here on Friday to do this. So what I was going to do was, I had two options. I hadn't quite decided yet. I was either going to lie, which I always think is a good way. Lying is a great way of getting out of trouble or situations that you don't want to be in, which you would be by telling the truth,
I think. For other kids, important advice. Yeah.
Lying is you know, so lying is fine on its own, it's just don't get caught. That's the problem, right? People lie all the fucking time, but, you know.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. I've never told a lie, but it's the getting caught that's the problem.
Yes.
So I thought, right, there's no fucking way I'm going to do this, let's be honest. So I was going to take what are the wee shit tests at home? LFT. I was going to take one of them and then go and say, look, it's negative. Or, being me, I was going to go, guys, I've not got my test results back. And I wouldn't feel right. I wouldn't feel right showing up and putting you all at risk.
Anyway, you know.
Yeah, you know. Just being in Leon. But as I haven't been in Leon, I will be able to go. Yeah.
Well, see, you have, like, I don't know if you saw Jen Psaki or whatever, the White House press person guy thing, lady. Maybe yesterday she got asked a question. Why aren't we providing, you know, these kind of tests like you guys have, you know, free charge or through the mail? Right. She's like, what are we supposed to do? Just provide COVID tests to everybody? Come on. Like,
That's socialism.
Exactly what you should be doing.
That's socialism.
Well, even we managed that.
Yeah. So basically, Canada, not unlike this podcast, kind of nestles gently right in between both of your camps right now, because all of our healthcare is done at a provincial level. You know, states to you, counties to David. So we, the federal government goes, here's your tests, and just flings them at the provinces. So the provinces, the good ones like Nova Scotia and the like, give you the tests and go, here you go. We got a gift from the from the federal government. Here you go. This is for you. We're just passing it on. If you want to, you know, send us a Christmas card, by all means, but certainly don't need anything in return. That's the way it's supposed to go. Our premier, who, as I've said before on this podcast, is a boob, is not giving us the tests. Not. They're just sitting in a warehouse somewhere. I just read yesterday, it's like, okay, we'll test the schools because this is where, because a lot of kids are not vaccinated yet, this is where you can get like some really good spreading going, right? So you can, we'll do the test there. So they're going to test the kids. Fine. They are literally banning teachers and any education staff from being tested.
That's very smart.
That's so smart. That's because brilliant. He hates teachers. Yeah. He hates them.
Yeah,
I don't know what fucking English teacher made him go up and fuck up iambic pentameter. So he just went, you know what? When I'm done selling hash and I'm premier one day, I'm going to fuck these guys. So
see, the thing, like, I can go to like a Walgreens or something and it's free, right? Yeah. But if I want like one of the ones that you guys can get, David, where you can just like call up and they'll mail you 7 or whatever every single fucking hour of the day, those cost me like 2 for $25.
I've got 4 of them, mate. I've got like 28 tests because basically all my family members very kindly picked me up one and dropped one in. It's like, you don't want to say any. Yeah, I mean, you had to pay for this rapid result, which is fine,
right?
Because you need it for a reason, and I honestly didn't have a problem paying the money. I had a problem paying the money because it's fuck all use. You know, that annoyed me, but
time is money.
Because you guys know me. I mean, I don't like to waste money. Oh, Shane, our friend Gail. She posted on Twitter the other night, she's feeling guilty because, you know, Gail's one of these people who cares about things. And,
that's true.
That's why we like Gail.
Yeah, well, that's why we like her, but it's also why...
They'll hang you up in life, you know?
Yeah,
You shouldn't care too much.
You know, exactly. You know, look at me, I just blah, 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 blah. You know, I just batter fucking on. You know, things don't really bother me. But French bothered me this week, but she said, yeah, I'm feeling guilty because I buy all this stuff I don't need and it's bad for the environment, so I'm gonna stop buying stuff I don't need. And I thought, oh, fuck me, man, that's my existence, you know, that's literally what I do. I get up in the morning on the off chance I'm going to be able to buy something I don't need that day. So I was like, why are you doing that? And she said, well, you know, I feel bad, the environment and whatnot. And I was like, all right, okay. And she said, you know, you could cut down. I said, no, I don't need to because I never throw anything out.
So if she's cutting down, that means you can just do it more.
Well, see? I also pointed out that without people like us buying shit we don't need, the economy is fucked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. The economy is completely and utterly gubbed.
That's how the inflation problem started over here, because they were like, oh shit, once we weren't helping people who've been out of work for like 18 months, suddenly everything costs more. Look at that shit.
Right.
Holy fuck. Uh-huh. God damn.
Yeah, we need to do it. So I mean, I'm going to continue to buy utter crap because, as I say, without doing so, then I'm not going to buy NFTs though.
No.
I'll buy pretty much any shit, and I'll buy especially pretty much any shit with a Rangers badge on it. Right? I mean, really, there's very few things I won't buy with it. But these NFTs, as far as I can gather, are like a JPEG that you could download, but you can also pay for it if you want to say that you own it.
And right. I think they're pretty much for the people that have paid for porn on the internet.
Right.
That's
kind of it.
Yeah. I'm trying to create a whole bunch of very rare NFTs. I'm trying to put one together. A very rare recording of Lenny Bruce telling a knock knock joke. I want to start there. B. Arthur and some fisting porn, like sort of all these things.
B. Arthur.
How very dare you? How very dare you? That's disgraceful. Don't you dare sully the good goddamn name of BR.
Oh, no, she's the best. She is the best. I kid because I love. Yeah, she is fantastic.
Woman was a genius. But look, and I know what's going to happen, right? In about 6 months, somebody's going to come to me. And you guys know this. When you come to me with an idea, I don't really listen, right? So somebody will come to me and say, hey, David, I've got an idea for a Heart and Hand NFT. And I'll go, hey, whatever, right? You know, knock yourself out, mate, as long as I don't need to do anything. And it will go up for sale and I'll have to retweet a couple of times. And someone will ask me and say, oh, but David, you said you didn't like NFTs. No, but I like money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, it's
the Stuart Robertson principle. You know, just keep signing every contract you can possibly get until the end of time.
Right. You know, you see, spot on. You know, just fucking money. That's one of my favorite Rangers fan moans, because you know we all do it. But oh, we're signing these contracts with these non-blue chip companies. Are they paying? Yes. Well, fuck up then, right? I mean, that's I don't give a flying fuck. I would, you know, see if honestly, if ISIS paid enough money for the stadium naming rights, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Before anyone gets upset, I'm
you
kidding.
You could hide it in there too. Like you could hide the S and the B and like the I and the O. You know, like you wouldn't even see it.
You realize you've started we Celtic fans now saying that we take money from ISIS.
They got enough going on, don't they? Good Lord. James, you know, I know he's a Rangers fan, but you shouldn't give him sectarian abuse, because then when they do it to us, we don't look as good. That's why you shouldn't do it. Not because it's wrong and bad and dumb, but because we look worse as a result and can't hold it over them.
No, I mean, you're looking for logic from a James Dornan situation, Shane.
Even Nil by Mouth made more sense than that fucking idiot. And that's tough for them.
Yeah, I mean, that ain't going to happen. That's just not what they're about. So, come on, mate.
But now we've got the racist problem of, you know, their diving cheat. Kyogo keeps diving and cheating.
Right,
and
people are
noticing that. And so it's obviously racism. Not the fact he keeps diving and cheating with 8,000 cameras watching him all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
fuck him. Good God. Hey, but you know, fuck it. Hey, we look good. That's all, man.
That's true. Yes. That is true.
I mean, defense a little shaky, but we easily could have scored about 18 more goals at the weekend, I think. So, I think David's dogs went crazy and he just leapt us.
That or his bottom lip is streaming in blood as he is biting it so as not to say anything so that he gets in trouble.
Oh man.
Bit of both. What happened? I thought I'd seamlessly gone off and got a delivery of that I don't need. But you drew attention to it. You know, you'd be fucking murdered to do a stage show with Shane. You know, I'd try and cover with like a witty remark. You'd go, that's not in the script.
That's right.
Well, I forgot the line. Shut up. Don't draw attention to it. Line. Well, you know, I've decided that any acting that, if I'm going to ever get involved in acting, I would only act in the way that Calculon acts in Futurama.
Right.
Which my dogs have gone nuts, and I was trying to shield the listeners from it, because currently I've got my stepdaughter's dog staying with us as well. So we've got four, too. And it's fucking honest.
Yes, God damn it. We've got her mom's dog is coming Saturday through Tuesday. And it's like, look, we have a very good dog, but she is a large dog. You know, like David, you have small dogs. It's different. Okay. Although when you have that many, it's still a lot.
You can put them all together into one big dog.
Yeah, one of my dogs. But now I will have two of my dogs, both of whom shed ridiculous amounts.
Sure.
And because it's like, I don't know, minus 15 Celsius already, so the air is dry as shit, and the house is going to be covered in dog hair. So I'm going to be fucking irate for about four goddamn days.
Yeah.
latest in a series, actually, just speaking about but dog related, actually, as a kind of tertiary to the story, but still involved, an occasional Crow Pod series of things David Wythe has done that were incredibly stupid. So last night, she's going to see Damon Albarn, formerly of Blur, right? Sally loves
it. That's a good show.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, she's going, she went to two, in fact, because he did a matinee and a later one. And it was a tiny little venue. My stepdaughter managed somehow to get somehow. It's amazing when you look like a fucking model, the amount of things you can get, isn't it?
Right, yeah, yeah.
People
yeah,
are so willing to do favors for her when they won't bother their ass with someone like me who looks,
as,
you know.
As opposed to a middle-aged man who look like
Yeah, fucking, yeah. Someone who looks as though they've been repeatedly hit off a
car bonnet.
Exactly. Yeah, like they're not that, right, you know. Someone who looks like one of those kind of little cheese footballs you get at Christmas, they're not too interested in. Uh-huh. But Lauren gets, you know, a lot of people will do things for her. So she got tickets to both of them, tiny little place in Glasgow, and Sally was going to, and the three of them, their friend and Sally and Lauren, absolutely adore Damon Albarn. Like, they're actually going to Iceland next year to see him in Reykjavik. So Sal's off to it, and she gets the car, she drives off. Now, when she's away, Bertie, our boy dog, he hates when Sally's not here. I mean, he hates it. So I'm kind of waiting, and he goes out, you know, for a pee, and I'm trying to get him back in because it's too cold to leave the door open. Right? Yeah. I mean, just fucking freezing. So won't come in. It's dark and wet. Won't come in. I have to go and get him. He's hiding under the hedge, right? He's perfectly dry in there, but I'm not. So I had to carry him back in. Sally then phones and said, "Hello, I'm at my friend's." Okay, not like you, 11:30, you know. And she said, "Yeah, I forgot to charge the car." You know, the...
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
So she said, "So I'm going to have to stay here tonight." I was like, right, okay. So I had to put up with him all night, getting up constantly, going down to the door, looking for her, didn't get to sleep. Sally arrives back this morning and goes, "Oh, Fran, a friend, her husband has COVID."
Oh,
like, are you fucking winding me up? And she's like, "Yeah, but I didn't see him." And I was like, "So that poor bastard in his own house when he's got COVID had to stay in his room the whole time you were there?" She was like, "Yes, he had to stay in his room up the stairs."
Nice.
And I'm like, "All of this because you forgot to charge your car."
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand. Same even with phones, right? Because I always charge my phone. I don't forget to charge my phone.
Like, if I'm sitting watching television, like, I've got chargers everywhere. It doesn't matter what I'm doing.
Chargers everywhere,
If I'm cooking, I plug it in. If I'm watching TV, it's plugged in.
I've even got like one of those little portable guys where you, like, you charge that up.
Got one of the little portable ones in my bag.
Did I ever tell you how I got my little charger thing?
No.
Okay, so the house, my wife's parents' house in Italy is wicked hot in the summer. There's like no air conditioning because they don't have air conditioning over there. The houses that do, everyone hangs out at for like hours during the day. It just becomes like the pub. So we're like, okay, this is it. We're gonna buy an air conditioner. That's it. So we buy an air conditioner at the little hardware store-y thing, and the appliance store. We bring it back. It will not fit into the window. There's nothing, because all the windows are fucking specific, and so nothing fits. So we're like, fuck it. Now we got to go back. So we go back again. We say, okay, we got to return this. And they're like, we can't give you a refund. We can give you store credit. So we're literally shopping around this thing like the old days of the old pick your prizes at Wheel of Fortune, where it's like, okay, so we'll, for $300, I'll take the ceramic Dalmatian. For $250, we'll take the chess set that all look like characters from Saved by the Bell. Okay, how much we got left? We got to take the phone charger, and then we'll have the rest on gift certificate. So, yeah.
Well, no, I don't understand people who don't, you know, and they go, "Oh, my phone's nearly out of charge." And you're like, why? That's unacceptable of you. But,
well, see, I had to buy one at the bar. Like, I bought one that has like all three of the main, you know,
the
two USB ones, and then like but I had to like fucking staple the cord to the wall with a note like, "Do not remove this fucking thing. I will find you on the camera, and I will take it out of your goddamn paycheck."
Yeah.
All the girls, like, the, you know, if one of their friends comes, "Oh, can I charge?" But, "Yeah, here, let me let you plug it in over there," and then it just, you know, walks out. Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
If they need to charge your phone, it comes behind the bar.
Absolutely. Yeah. And but to not charge your car when you know you're fucking
that's a little
out, that is just I don't understand it whatsoever. So I had to put up with Betty all night. And I'm already pissed off, you know, about Leon.
You're in a mood.
Yeah, but it's not helping the fact that she's delighted about Leon because it means I'm not away for 2 days, right? But she's trying not to, you know, not to show it, but I know.
Yeah.
So we're in that awkward sort of hinterland between where I know what she's thinking and she knows I know what she's thinking, but none of us want to address it. But I kind of do because I kind of want to fight because I'm in a bad mood. So I'm sort of picking at things, you know, that way, just that sort of. And I know I'm being a dick here, but I've got to take it out on somebody. And what does the phrase say? We always hurt the ones we love.
Yes,
now,
yes.
That is true. And I don't have Ally McCoy's phone number. So therefore, going down the list of people that I love, Ally McCoy, not available, right? Sally. So that's what we moved on to. But then she comes back. So she's been made to go into the other side of the house. I'm not communicating with her due to the fact that she might be a plaguer. And I'm going, luckily I do have this test on Friday that I fucking paid for. That'll be able to go and check. But all in all, I'm feeling really sorry for myself. Oh, and here's the other thing, and I do want to moan about this, and you guys will be
bring it.
After just complaining about people forgetting to do things. I forgot to order one of my medications last week.
Ah,
I need to order You need to order 3 days in advance to get it, right? So medication arrives on Friday. This one isn't in it. And I was like, fuck. So that's me now being 4 days without it. Now, this is something I've been taking for, 11 years, right? You can't just stop taking it. So what it does is the withdrawal from it provides this really weird sensation of your brain feels like it's turning round in your head, but you're not turning round, if that makes sense. Your eyes sort of swirl a little bit, and any movement is kind of a... So that's making me even more crab it as well. And just generally speaking, you know, I'm in an angry place. But then it would have been worse because I'll get it on Wednesday, when I would have been in Leon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, right. Until Friday.
Yeah.
Swings and roundabouts.
There you go. Yeah. Quick one. Support the show. You can scroll down into the show notes. You click on the link. It's pretty easy. If you're like John O'Fraser, our good friend who does it for $9.99 every month.
Good man, John.
We mention your name every week or your business or whatever you want. Or if you're like John Lamont, who does it for $4.99, you get mentioned once a month. So,
yeah.
There we go. So all you got to do, you go down to the show notes, wherever you're looking, click there. And, of course, copelandstreetwear.co.uk. Mm-hmm. I think you still, is it December 9th? I think it's their cutoff, maybe. I forgot to look. Anyway, if you're still looking for Christmas shit, obviously fucking order it right now. If they even can still get it to you. I can't guarantee that. And I didn't check with them before the show. But you should still buy shit from them anyway. So there you go.
Absolutely. You should be doing it and getting some.
I saw you guys sold out your scarves pretty quick there.
Fair play to Colin. It was his idea, and I don't think
the famous do, right?
It was Colin and Graham from the famous, and they sort of, you know, what they basically do is they come to me and they say, we're going to do this. Is this okay? This is how much you need to give Graham, and this is how much we'll make after it. So I did that, kind of nodded it through. And again, I was like, typical me, I was like, I'm not sure how much interest there'll be in them, lads, because, you know, we sold them last year. And 60 of them went in about 5 minutes. So nice. Well done to everybody. Yeah. They are actually good products. I mean, that's what, there's a lot of shite we sell, but these are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I had to buy my first Christmas present Saturday morning because somebody forgot to tell me that she wanted to do this in the 2 months leading up. So I spent Saturday afternoon at the production of the Nutcracker, which I was given shit for by. But the worst part was
the ballet.
So our The theater here is gorgeous, right? But the seats upstairs have never really been like renovated to modern body sizes.
Right.
And because we waited too long, I couldn't get seats downstairs anywhere. So I was crammed into a chair for a person, you know, who's probably about 5'4 and 140 pounds.
Yep. They were smaller back then.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. A little bit. So I there was a question about how I hurt myself this week. And that's how I did it, because we got out and we went to dinner afterwards, and I'm sitting and I'm cutting my steak and I'm, you know, drinking my wine. And I was like, God, my ribs. What the fuck did I do? Oh, yes. I had to use a fucking shoehorn to get my ass out of a fucking chair after this 2 hour production.
That's kind of, I just assume that a theater would always have decent, you know.
They're quite comfortable. They just never, you know, I'm 6'3". There's no leg room. The chairs are not, they've never been widened. And it's not like I'm not fat, but I'm
never visit rugby park, Shane.
Oh, no.
Never,
no.
Ever visit rugby park, because they, those seats are made for Smurfs.
They would let that many blue people in? Come on.
Oh, it's the chef. You know, they're all basically just, you know.
Is that how they somehow magically get that 18,000 total capacity?
Yeah, exactly.
There is a wonderful and true story about Rugby Park. You might recall, you two gentlemen are of the vintage to recall, that it got redeveloped in the 90s, and it went being a great old stadium, but an old traditional stadium, you know, with terracing quite far back from the pitch, to be in the kind of wee, you know, it's a perfectly nice wee stadium.
Boxy, right. Yeah.
It's boxy, but nice, yeah. But the thing is, it was...
like Volvos.
Like Volvos, yeah. It was built by a guy called Bill Barr, and Bill Barr Construction. But Bill Barr was the owner of Air United, Kilmarnock's local rivals, right? And one of the things is, in the design stage, and this is perfectly true, this was told to me by a director of Kilmarnock, that at the design stage, they said, we would quite like the new stand to be the same size as the main stand, you know, so that they're matching. We don't want one of these, you know, when four stands get built, because they couldn't afford to do it in a winner, but when four stands get built, you know, sometimes you see that they're all different heights.
Yes.
And it can look a bit odd. So they said, could the new stand match? And they were like, no problem. And it does, except it took into account the floodlights on the other stand. So it fucking dwarfs this thing. It's level with the floodlights. Perfectly level with the floodlights, but miles above the roof of the existing. What, next time you're there, folks, have a look. Have a look at the Chadwick, have a look at the main stand, and you will see this. It perfectly aligns to the top of the floodlights. This is why you
always check the blueprints.
Always check the blueprints.
See, BMO Field, where TFC play, has the same thing, but they did it by design, because it had started out with like a 20,000 seat seater, so it was very low. There was only like stands.
That thing was built like the Toyota Park and the one in Houston. Yeah. They're all like completely identical stadiums.
Then they went, well, we're getting more people in. Not now, they suck, but before they were great, and so they loaded up the west stand. So it sucked too, because on the east stand you could sit at center at if you got a seat on the center line, if you followed the center line right the way through, you could see the CN Tower, like it was aligned perfectly. Right. And now you can't, because there's like, but when you're sitting in that stadium, you go, holy shit, this is a team now. Like it's fucking huge. Like we're
was big. It was 38,000 now or something?
38,000, something like that.
Yeah.
The here's Shane. Speaking of shitty seats in theaters. I used to work at Massey Hall, Roy Thompson Massey Hall, same organization, and one is
Roy Thompson Massey Hall these days sounds like an Arsenal player.
Yeah, Roy Thompson Massey Hall. Yeah, actually, yeah, I believe he plays on the left wing. So Roy Thompson Hall is kind of the more modern one, and Massey Hall is like the old like wooden place. I saw like so many great bands there. I saw Dinosaur Jr. I saw Billy Connolly. I saw him there. Quite a few times. I think the last show I saw there was Arcade Fire. I thought they were great. Nice. Oh, my God. Oh, best show I ever saw. Sigur Rós. It was in there. That venue was built for their mopey, don't understand one fucking lyric. This human being shouldn't be making these sounds music.
I asked a friend, whose wife is Icelandic, about Sigur Rós's lyrics, because I'm like you, I just find it magical, this incredible noise, and it's sung in Icelandic. So I wondered about the lyrics, because like La Bamba, right?
Yeah.
When you read the English lyrics of La Bamba, it's fucking rubbish. Trust me, they did right to stick with, because it sounds good. Ah, da, wah, da, La Bamba. But the lyrics are like, you need a very high ladder to reach the sky. And it's like, well, that shit, that would have been a hit. So I said, you know, what are the lyrics as beautiful as the music? And she wasn't a fan, but she had a look. And she said, yes and no. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, some of it is in Icelandic and half of it is in a language that apparently they made up.
Right.
And I was like, what? So it's not even for...
It's like some Lord of the Rings bullshit.
It's some Lord of the Rings bullshit.
There's one album where I'm convinced they just do the same lyrics for all the different songs. Like, I'm convinced of it. There's, I'll get to the shitty seat in a second, but like, you reminded me of this. there's a video clip of this Italian artist who's like playing a show somewhere in deep, deep Italy where no English ever exists. And so he decided he was going to treat the audience to a song in English, but the lyrics make no sense. He was just literally throwing out any English words he had. You know, e no incantano di inglese, hot dog, wine glass, da da da, carburetor, da 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 da. I've got a dog and it is a fridge and I wear it with a hat and I have a sandwich and like, it's just literally just throwing that out.
This is like John Fred in the Playboys with Judy in Disguise, because like they heard Strawberry Fields and they were like, do you cross your heart with your living bra, whatever. I don't know. Sparrow with eyes. Let's do it.
A more modern one, System of a Down. You've ever heard a System of a Down lyric? It's like, the ocelot is coming over the horizon with the pig. And you're like, okay. But they're too scary to... I'm not fucking arguing with System of a Down.
To be fair, one of the best nonsense lyrics out there is actually from one of my favorite bands. And David, you'll know this, kind of. That's great. It starts with an earthquake and it goes from there.
Lester Bangs, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom.
There you go.
The first two REM albums, he was asked one time about, you know, can I get a copy of the lyrics? And he went, no, because I never wrote them down. And a lot of those are just sounds.
Yeah. That was actually, I think, Spin Magazine's review of Fables of the Reconstruction, or Reconstruction of the Fables, however you want it, however it was delivered to you.
It's cyclical.
Right. Yeah. There was like, can they get famous by having lyrics of like mumble, 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 bud?
Yeah. No, that's they were called at the time the only band that mutters, as a takeoff of that Clash.
No, it's good. Yeah. So I'm working at Massey Hall, Roy Thompson Hall, and one of the things they make you do is that you got to take a tour. So, you know, like, you know, you're selling the seats. You got to know what the seats are like. Right. So it's like, okay. And so we go to Massey Hall and I'm seeing the stage and like, Jesus Christ, like this is like Massey fucking Hall. Like, you know, the Stones have played here and like anyone who's anyone has played in this venue. And they're giving me this tour. And the woman turns to me and goes, I'm going to show you the best seat in the house. And I went, I can't wait. Like, I'm thinking it's a box or like, you know, center five rows back. That's probably where I would think it would be. She takes me to the back of the theater and she shows me this seat, which is very close to the seat in front of it. So you sit in it and your knees are touching the back of the next seat.
I felt so bad for the guy in front of me. God.
It gets better, Shane. the reason you kind of have to splay your legs a little bit, you kind of have to man spread a little bit. And the reason you have to man spread is because right in the middle of that seat is a post that holds up the mezzanine.
Yes.
It's a bit thicker, and you are going to be cuddling nicely on the shoulder of the person beside you. So bring a date and make sure she sits on your right, because that's where you're spending your evening. So she would be leaving with scoliosis.
Yeah, that's an away ticket at Parkhead. But I see a poster's in front of me. Thank you for knocking a pound off the ticket price for Restricted View Celtic.
Wrigley Field the same way. It's wonderful.
Yeah, but then, you know, we get a lot of abuse for singing dodgy songs. What else you meant to do when you can't see the fucking game? Do you know what I mean? It's fuck it. Of course you're going to do that. You go, well, I can't. I might as well have a bit of a party because I can't. Yeah. You know, can't see.
Build my gallows high and use this fucking post.
Yeah, yes. With the fucking
post. You know, build it.
God. Seems, but yeah, well, as everyone knows, Celtic Park is actually built out of papier-mâché and lollipop sticks. Yeah. So you don't want to touch anything of it. Yeah, you really don't want to touch anything of it on the grounds that it might fall down on you.
Right.
So,
I found a news story that might also qualify as a random song lyric at some point. Florida man.
Here we go.
Finds boa constrictor hiding inside his new couch.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, that's scary.
Yeah. But,
now, I found a red black spider in my garage last night. That was horrifying. Okay. This, I think I would just burn the whole fucking place down.
Are you afeard of the spiders?
The ones that can kill you? Yeah, because usually with those, you don't just get one. There's probably a lot hiding somewhere, so I need to go down like through my basement with the vacuum and just suck down anything that looks like it might
be a... Did you just call a black widow a red black spider?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's a problem that I've been grappling with ever since I moved here to Ottawa, because my local Canadian football team concern was a team I cheered for since the age of 8, which is the Ottawa Roughriders. They folded, and then the Ottawa Renegades started up, and I went with them. They folded, so now they're back again.
You're a fucking jinx, by the way.
And they obviously. they've won the Grey Cup, so I'm good. But they call themselves the Red Blacks.
Yeah.
And the reason they do that is because they want to call themselves the old Rough Riders again and get the old R crest. But the woman who holds the rights of them said, you can have it for $150 million billion. And they went, fuck you. We're going to use two colors. So if they had gone like with red black and just call it like the Black Widow Spiders, that would be perfect.
Yeah. Black Widows.
Charge
them less than $150 billion.
They've got the color scheme already. It's perfect.
But Todd, shut up. Go trademark this. Then call it.
Patent pending.
Well, I wanted some sympathy this week because, I've had a lot of bad stuff going on in my life. You know, Leon, and I think I was...
Let's be clear. The problem that you had was that you can't go to France for a football game. That's the big problem. It's not a health issue. It's not, also, a death in the family.
In the middle of a pandemic, still.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Don't you can't go to start France. Me with this, Pish. Don't you fucking start me with that. I hate that. I fucking hate that.
You know what? I don't get.
You are 30 seconds away from saying there are starving children in Africa. Right?
Yesterday they said, we don't have enough police. Did you find 300 police officers overnight? No, the minister just didn't actually read the information before he signed it. You know what he did? We talked about this last week. Somebody put a clipboard in front of him, and he just signed the fucking
thing.
Yeah, he did. I told you.
But right, okay. Are you suggesting that my free trip to Lyon, because I didn't even pay for it. Are you suggesting that the cancellation of that... Then that doesn't take into account the critical factor here. Aha, Mr. Smartman. Okay. It doesn't take into account the most important factor in the whole conversation, which is it happened to me and therefore is important than any shit that happens to anyone else. Right? It's not my fault. It's a medical condition. When my work made me go to a psychiatrist right back in the day, he diagnosed me with having borderline sociopathic tendencies, which doesn't mean, by the way, before anyone goes fucking mental, it doesn't mean I'm a sociopath. It means
you're the one going fucking mental.
Exactly. exactly. Right. It means I have trouble empathizing and I have trouble seeing things from any other perspective other than mine. And as as Homer Simpson taught Bart Simpson, if something is difficult and it's difficult for me to look at things from other people's perspective, it's not worth doing. I don't do it, right? And instead, you're fucking right. Yes, there are all these horrible things going on in the world. Fuck all to do with me. What is important is what is happening to me. And I had a free fucking trip to Leon cancelled this week because we gave them the fucking country back in 1945. And we should have kept it. We won it. It was ours. It was us and the Russians. We should have divvied up Europe at fucking Berlin like the Russians wanted.
Had a little bit to do with getting France.
You wanted to go home. You fucked off, right? You're right.
Yeah, We paid all their bills.
Yeah. You guys are, well, basically then you guys are the sucker. We're the shaggers and you're the suckers, right? You know, you did, you're right. You're the guy that helped the girl with her homework. We're the ones who then swept in and shagged her. That's what happened, right? But no, but we did it as well. I'm saying that. We were saps. We just went, okay. And of course, you know, the French, 1940. Oh, come on in, Monsieur Hitler, have a baguette. 1945. Oh, thank you, Britain. Now fuck off. We should have known. But the other thing, you know, having a fairly bad, because I was ill last week, genuinely was ill last week, right? And I felt a bit better. Yeah. And then that's happened. But that is an interesting conversation, though, because my wife did this week where she was sitting on Sunday night. She looked really upset. I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm so stressed. I've got so much on this week. And I was like, okay, my God, what have you got on? And she went, well, I've got these Damon Albarn gigs on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I'm meeting a friend for lunch. And then on Wednesday, I've got college. And then and I was like, so all fun things that you chose to do. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you chose to do all of these things. They're fun activities. You don't, you know, this is not, oh my God, I need to go. I've got a funeral on Monday and I've got, you know, these are fun things that you chose to do. And she's like, well, yeah, but I'm still stressed. I was like, maybe we need to take a step back.
Yeah, see, I did the dumb thing and not checking so I kept putting off some lawn work. Actually, instead of my lawn, it's out my back garden, like across the alley. But my neighbors are fucking lazy, and like all these trees were growing behind their back fence. But it's where we pull out of the driveway, so it's a problem. And they wouldn't take care of them, so I kept putting it off until I finally absolutely had to do it without looking at the weather forecast and realizing it was going to be 15 degrees below zero. So that was me with a chainsaw yesterday, trying not to fucking just cut my own hand off so I could get out of doing it.
It's true though, isn't it? Awful. It's like there's shit jobs to do, in which case you're absolutely right to not be looking forward to it. And then there's, you know, there's good fun things that you chose to do. And that is, it's a Western, that is very much first world problem where you're like, oh, I've got 100%. Good the good thing about The one good thing about Leon being cancelled is that we've been hit by another storm.
You don't have
storm.
To go to France?
I don't have to go to France because, as I say, I'd probably went tooled up. So we don't need to go to France, but also there's another storm has hit and I can just hibernate, which is, you know, pretty preferable to being outside in it. To the point where my dogs, when the dog walker comes, have been hiding so that they don't need to go their walk. That's how wild it is outside. There are few things, though, more satisfying, I think, in life than being stood up at your window. I'm doing it right now, pressed against a warm radiator, looking outside at grim condition. The only thing I think matches it is putting on a sporting event where the conditions are fucking brutal. And
you're sat inside.
Shane, the Ashes start tonight. Uh-huh. I know you've got no idiot cricket because of the strike, so proper cricket, and it'll be a good time.
Well, it's also winter, so there isn't idiot cricket right now.
Oh, well, right. Well, even so, no, even better then, right? but yeah, the Ashes started tonight, and it always prompts a really strange debate in Scotland whenever you mention that you like cricket. because some Scottish people just think it's
like watching it. I don't care.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they think it's just
guy throws the ball. Somebody hits the ball with a stick. What the hell's not to like about that?
Exactly. You're so polished. It's like, well, I'm not polished. I'm just, you know, I am. Well, I get out the bath to take a piss, so that that's quite posh, I suppose. But people always go, oh, I can't believe you like cricket, as if it's somehow kind of straight. It's a sport. It's just, you know, as you say, a guy throws a very hard ball quickly, and someone has to hit it with a big bit of wood, and when he does,
and some other cunt tries to catch it. Like
tries. It's fairly
simple. Dumb baseball.
How can it be? Dumber than baseball, for fuck's sake.
They're wearing goalie pads.
What?
They're wearing hockey equipment to a baseball game.
That part, the whole ice hockey goalie leg gear thing. And also ice hockey player gloves to try to hit the ball.
What sport was invented first? Hockey. Hockey players are wearing cricket gear. So I think you'll find, as usual, whenever we have one of these debates about you two's new little found countries that have been about for about, you know, a fucking jizz drop in the great history of the world, right? Nothing that you guys do is original apart from gun crime in America and apart from the having French there for no reason by Canada. Those are the only original things you guys bring to the table. The rest of it, you're basically baby Britain, and fuck knows you're mutant Britain, Shane. At this point,
mutant Britain.
At this point, you know, you're like if Britain had been living in a sewer.
The U.S. to Britain is like the petulant teen that went, "I'm running away from home," and the door slams, and then like 10 years later, the parents look up from their newspapers and breakfast, going, "Hey, whatever happened to Becky? I wonder how she's getting on."
Yeah, and it then turns up she's one of these wild child rock stars, right?
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Glamorous life, but everything's chaotic. And
they're getting vexed.
Yeah, she's there's a great, both of you I think will enjoy it. There's a great Billy Bragg's new song. It's called 10 Mysterious Photos That Can't Be Explained, and it's about shite you see on the internet.
Right.
And there's it's about people online believing everything they read from Facebook.
Oh, it's my parents. I get it.
Okay. I would urge you to check it out. It's pretty funny. And you say that, and I love my parents, and I don't want to criticize them on here, but I'm gonna. My mum, late adopter to Facebook, it's fair to say, late adopter.
Right.
And she will say, "Have you seen this?" And I'll go, "My heart sinks," right?
Yep.
And I'll go, "What is it, Mum?" And she'll go, look at this. And it'll be, you know, a meme saying, "Do you know that the vaccine will give you, you know, like the shits?" Or
right.
do you know that, you know, we give all the money that we should be spending on, you know, giving to people?
Yeah. Do you realize that all the Brexit money is not going to the NHS? Yeah, you never see that one. You
never see that one. No. And she'll go, "Look at that. That's true." And I'm like, "It's not true, Mom." And she's like, "But it's on the internet." And to be fair, it's kind of like, you know, they grew up in a generation where it's in the paper. It must be true.
Right. If you see it on TV, it must be true.
If you see it on TV, they wouldn't be
as
allowed.
As seen on TV is the best way you can sell shit.
Yeah.
That is true, actually, and I'm guilty of that. Don't put me in front of an infomercial, right? Because
what did you just buy? Well, it's as seen on TV. I bought the dog from Frasier, not the living one, the dead one.
Fucking boxes of knives. What the hell am I gonna do with those knives?
Look at these scissors. They can cut an empty cat. Look, and then, you know. And Sally will go, "Much more there." I said, $49.99, but look, they can cut cans. And she's like, "Why do you want to cut cans?" No fucking idea.
Right. What recipe calls for cut cans?
Yeah, the guy was so insistent. And, you know, I need to go back to, you remember the crusty lady shave?
Yes.
As pushed by Johnny Unitas. Is my lips supposed to be bleeding? Probably. I think I need to go back to that and a healthy degree of cynicism. Yeah, I am murder at this time of year, because, you know, the adverts just look amazing. Don't the other one that has got me at Hampers Christmas hampers.
Hampers?
Hampers, yeah.
Okay, what's that?
You picnic baskets, right?
Right, okay.
I suppose, yeah. But they're
so Christmas picnic, yeah, baskets.
Random
well,
shit.
Well, they're bigger, right? I'm surprised you don't have that. Basically, it's like a wicker basket, a hamper, right? Full of whatever.
And oh, okay, all right. Yeah, you know,
chocolate, or it can be full of luxury. Sure.
Cheese and fucking,
so,
yeah.
The other day, right, having seen something on Twitter, it was quite amusing. I decided, and I'm going to circle back to it, I went to Fortnum and Mason's to buy a Christmas hamper for Sally. Okay. She doesn't listen to this.
Mason's? Continue.
Well, now, Fortnum and Mason's are like the super posh London shop. Like, they make Harrods look like Aldi. Right,
okay.
It's super super posh, you know, appointment to the royal family, all that. See the drop down menu for titles. It's one of the greatest things I have ever seen in my life. Let me just read to you some of the titles
and these are available for sale. We can actually go online and pick these
you
up.
Can but you can buy all manner of stuff in here. It's not cheap because it's not really aimed at the likes of you and me, right? At Fortnum and Masons, but
Masons, continue.
It's there are some rather, as I say, fantastical things in here. Now here, the drop down menu to add your title. Right now, the opening, you can do sir or madam.
Yep.
Course, okay. Right.
Lord.
I'll just read you the rest. Right.
Okay.
Mrs. Yep. Mrs. and Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Air Commodore. Brigadier. Captain. Colonel. Commander. Commodore. Dame. District Judge. Doctor. Group Captain. H.H. Sheikh, Her Honourable Judge, His Honourable Judge, and my favourite, Her Royal Highness. Which makes me think that the Queen must go to the Fortnum and Mason website.
She just sat there on her mobile.
And order stuff, and they had to put in the drop-down menu.
You're missing the glaringly obvious. It's for people who want to send her something. You're not going to do, Ms. Queen of England.
No, you're not. And she said that. She got in touch with him and said, look, I can't be doing this. You know, Mrs. Queen of England, that's not me. I need HRH in there.
Right.
And they went, no, you're right. You're right, Your Majesty.
Absolutely
and
right.
They've put it in there. I just loved that. And you can just tell the kind of people that are buying stuff. If you need Air Commodore in your drop-down menu, because regularly enough Air Commodores are ordering from your website.
Yes.
You are posh.
There's right? a big you flood. Are, big
you
flood
are
of them.
Proper fucking posh. And I absolutely... So I've got Sally this hamper from it, and you honestly, the stuff it contains, right? Fucking caviar and little mm-hmm. in a little tin.
Which title did you give her? Mrs. and Mrs.? What did you do?
No, I went for Mr. and I was so tempted to go for Lord.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I just sort of post-dated that one day I will be.
You are missing a step here. I think you should look into this lordship thing because it rolls off the tongue. Lord David Edgar.
Well, actually, right? I'm glad you brought this up, right? Because in the British system, the honor system,
yep.
You can be nominated by a member of the there is a lordship down here. It's the Lord of Eglinton, and I should have it. I think it's dormant, so why not? But you can be nominated for an award, right? MBE is generally the first one, member of the British Empire. Mm-hmm. You can then the next one is Stephen Davis is an MBE, OBE, Order of British Empire, and I have been dropping hints to the podders that I think I deserve a nomination. And none of them have done it yet. And I'm a little bit.
Were these hints subtle, David? Were they as subtle as the previous sentence? Were they?
Yeah, I must admit.
Could they be misconstrued and missed in the.
No, I don't think you could misconstrue. One of you fuckers should nominate me for an MBE. So if any listeners are out there, when you think about all I've done for you, right, and I didn't get to go to Leon or anything, then I think that an NBA in the Players Honours list.
Yeah.
And from there, I worked my way up into getting some sort of lordship. Because they'll let anybody be a lord these days. Not like the old days, sure. You know what I mean? It's not like we made Lord Palmerston and stuff.
Right.
Graham wants to know.
Oh, here we go.
Celebrity death match. I get to pick a president, David, a prime minister, and Tagus to decide the winner. David, you will not win this one. You don't have a chance in hell.
Are you picking Jackson?
Oh, Andrew Jackson. It doesn't matter who the fuck throw up.
Well, not strictly sure on that, because we had a couple of lads back in the day. I think I'll go for Canning, because he also fought a duel with Castlereagh. Yeah,
but did he ever like beat somebody to death with his cane just because he could?
He did, yeah. I mean, Jackson would be, but you have to remember as well that if I pick someone from what was it, round about 1812 when we burnt down your capital, we were harder than you at that point. So
technically, we did, but yes, I get your point.
Let's put this in context, Shane. The last time that we were invaded was a millennium ago. The last time that you were invaded was, basically a heartbeat ago, 200, less than 200 years ago. So I'm just saying, and it's further to travel to invade you than it is to invade us. And yet we still don't get invaded. So I'm just a millennium, mate, a millennium. So I know who I'd pick, Margaret Thatcher. End of fucking argument.
So here's the thing. If I'm refereeing this, I'm assuming I'm refereeing this in like WWE style, where the Iron Lady and Andrew Jackson are just kicking eight shades of shit out of each other. Old Hickory, right? And then I am going to be distracted by probably Andrew Jackson's coach, who I guess would be David Duke. And I'm having an argument with him, and finally I get done and I turn around and I can't see a match going on because Andrew Jackson has eaten Margaret Thatcher. And so I have to call the match.
Magnificent mane of hair. But you have to remember that every prime minister or president has a slogan that they're associated with. So for instance, Ulysses S. Grant, let us have peace. FDR, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Donald Trump, inject yourself with bleach to cure COVID.
Yes.
Margaret Thatcher's is rule Britannia sunk the Belgrano. The woman was hard.
Yeah.
See, but he just brought up the point, like the manager, the guy standing over there. Because Jackson would have like John Calhoun on the side, who's also a fucking psycho.
No, they fell out. They fell out.
I'm gonna take issue with one thing David has said, and I just the thing is tainted for me right the way along because of his particular phrasing, I can't get out of my head the picture of Margaret Thatcher being hard, and I don't care for that.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
Our listeners, right, will be very protective of Margaret Thatcher. I warn you right now.
Yeah, I know. You opened this up. This is your fault.
Yeah.
It was your fault. You asked the fucking question. Do you know what? Margaret Thatcher would have got me into Leon. She would have invaded. She absolutely would have invaded. I just go back to Edmund Blackadder's line about it. We hate the French. We fight wars against the French. Was the man who burnt Joan of Arc simply wasting good matches?
Well, see, here you go, David. Rupert DeBoer wants to know, say going to Leon, what are you doing for the match?
There we go.
I shall watch it in the house up against my radiator while looking outside and going, oh, it's freezing out there.
All right, so are you leaning with your ass up on the, like, just perfectly warm?
Of course, just sitting under, because it's one of those flat ones, you know, that comes out a little bit. So, yeah, you can sit on it. And, look, it is a dead robber of a game as well, thankfully.
Yeah,
So is Celtics, but for different reasons.
I love that they lost their game and had a better by the numbers rating than us that won our game.
Significantly better, 85-70. Yeah.
You know, and this goes back to a lot of people complain about, you know, the kids today, they're all soft. Everyone got participant ribbons, and that's why we have the problems. Is like, I think if you look at it by that argument, then Celtic is just a team of millennials that just need hugs, you know.
Was it like Tori Rawlson got a 7 or an 8 despite being at fault for all three of the goals?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Oh, you know, maybe it was through the eyes of the opponents. It's like, it really helped us out a lot. Give them an 8 out of 10.
If you took away the goals, and if some of his crosses had been better, then it was an 8 out of 10 display. And for you to say that, Shane, is bigotry.
It's a bit like Arsenal's backline this weekend.
Right.
Did anybody happen to see that game? I'm glad you brought that up.
I watched the match of the day thing over here. I don't understand. Arsenal have actually been see, that's the thing with Arteta. Like, it doesn't have to make any sense. Like, what, Everton hadn't won in what, 9 matches? Something like that. Yeah. And Benitez had a foot and 3/4 out the door. Yeah. Somehow got called back for offside. But no, I mean, they could have lost that like 7-1.
Yeah, so easily. Absolutely easily they could have. And what I thought was really, you know, something watching this game, Everton fans had apparently organized this walkout after 27 minutes. Now, first of all, in terms of fan protests, I always think the one where you've turned up and given them your money and then leave is a bit self-defeating.
Yeah. It was pointed out to me that that's actually 7 minutes later than they left the previous game when they were getting...
Yeah, that's a fair point. But the other thing about it was I was like, well, you know, I don't really care for these protests. I think they're a bit pointless. If you're going to do something, then make an actual statement. Don't go to the game. Leave the seats empty. The whole game is a much bigger statement. But, you know, fair enough, they were going to walk out. But then it came that they were not going to walk out. They were going to walk down to the concourse for 5 minutes and then walk back up. That's not a protest. That's going for a piss.
Yeah, and also literally probably spending more money at the concessions.
100% going down. Yeah. In England, in the concourse, they've got, you can buy a drink in England. It's weird. You can buy a beer, but you're not allowed to take it up because clearly it's a combination of alcohol and a view of grass. That causes mayhem, but it's fine if you lose it. So, to be fair to the Everton support, a few of them did it, the vast majority didn't, and in fact stood up and applauded rather than getting involved. And it seemed to help the team and Everton go on and win. But you're absolutely right. Arsenal, how bad do you need to be when Everton, who are always the team that if you're having a bad run, play Everton. Trust me, I've got years of experience proving this hypothesis. If a striker hasn't scored, then, you know, a year, play Everton. Everton are the nicest, most accommodating side in the whole world. And if you go up there and take the lead and can't... And I mean, how much more did they want, right? Everton score a goal, a great goal at Listerhole Stadium. They're marginally offside. VAR calls it back.
Both of them are offside by like a combined quarter of an inch.
Yeah, exactly. It's just your luck.
But the first one, then Arsenal go back up and score. And
score immediately. Now, at that point, Everton are dead. You know what I mean? How bad is that? We haven't won in 9 games. We've got this fucking Liverpool person as the manager. Everton are gone. They're gone. The game's done, right? You're ready to give up. If you're Arsenal, you go second half. Let's just go. Get a second, lads. They fall apart. Win this 4-5. Everton then dig themselves back into it, right? They score another goal. And as you say, this one's even worse because they're both stood on the white line. And yet one of them's offside, right? So at that point, you're thinking, Jesus Christ, it's absolutely not your night, Everton, right? You know, you're not getting anything from this. And if you're Arsenal, you go, right, lads, let's go forward. Just one more goal and then, you know, the crowd will start booing and everything. And they contrive to lose from that position.
And then, before they get the first goal, that absolute fucking hammer shot cracks back off the post, and you're going, again, you're not going to score. And then it's the guy who's been offside twice, again, by a combined, I don't know, 2 millimeters, who heads it back in on the looper. Man, that one, who was it, Gray that scored the last one? What a goal. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That was one of those ones that, you know, you feel sorry for the post that it hit.
Yeah.
I don't care what post it hits. Like the crossbar always looks great because there's always a chance of it bouncing down and then back up and down. You know, you get the double
off
thunder
the arse of the keeper, going. You know.
Yeah. But that thing, good fucking God.
That it was annoying. It's funny you mentioned. It's funny you mention that. But I had that concern on our game. Like when in that first kind of like 34, like just before our first goal, I was sitting there going, if we don't score one before half, this goalie is going to be seeing nothing but beach balls the entire game. So we needed that first one, and thank God we got it. But
poof. Yeah,
We played really well.
We played really well, but you're right, as the chances, especially in that first half, mounted. Because, look, one of the saves, the one from Sakala in the first half was just, Jesus, mate, what a day you're having, you know, because he caught it flush, just absolutely perfect. It's rifling exactly where it needs to go.
Even the one from Barisic from, like, 60 yards out that still looked like it broke his fucking fingers.
Yeah.
He could not believe how hard that hit his fucking hands.
So you're right. You have to take advantage of the other team beginning to maybe doubt them. And Everton went into that game absolutely doubting them. So you cannot lose them. But you're right, Shane. We've talked about this before. Arteta seems always to be, you know, 1-2 steps forward and then 1-2-3 steps back, and he just always seems to end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I thought too, like Moyes had the look of, because they've kind of bobbled the past 10 days or so, and you're thinking, all right, well, here's where the wheels finally come off of the West Ham season. No.
Yep.
No, and not even like, and even after Mason Mount scores that fucking just absolute
gorgeous.
God damn.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Continue.
And I still, I watched the replay on the third West Ham goal like 6 times. Does it take a deflection? Or is that what he's actually trying to, I mean, he was trying to do that.
Well, he said he was.
I mean, either that or he completely duffed across.
I think he duffed across because the reason I think this is he scored, that was his first goal in 95 matches.
Right.
And then he's expecting us to believe. But then you're basically calling the guy a liar. All I know is if I'd done that, I would have gone, yeah, I meant it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I'd be drinking on that goal for the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. This was a fun moment that happened during the game. I got to actually sit beside listener Craig at the match at the Ottawa RSC Wood on Wellington. If anyone goes down there,
could you tell him his name's Craig?
Yeah, with my own pronunciation of it,
as we've discussed in the past,
right.
He says his name wrong.
Craig. Okay. Side note: I had another friend, Craig. Visit my office when I was working in Toronto, and the receptionist is greeting him, is like, and first of all, the first thing he goes says, "It's told here," and she's like, "What?" He's like, "It's told here." Who? Todd Van Allen. Oh, Todd Van Allen. Aye. He's like, okay, can I tell him who's calling? Aye, it's Craig. She goes, "Greg? No, Craig." Okay, still not getting this. Is it Greg? No, it's Craig with a C. Craig. Aye, Craig. So like, I'm within earshot of the reception area, but I still can't quite hear this. So my phone rings and I hear it. She goes, "Your friend Craig is here," and I just hear him yell through the phone and in the lobby, "Aye, it's Craig." And so okay. So, came out, talked about the game and shit like that, and then when he left, the receptionist turned to me and went, so I couldn't help but overhear you guys talking. I went, oh yeah, because we're just talking about the games and stuff. She's like, yeah, did not understand a word. I get it. But we're watching this, and so it's the moment in the match where Lee Griffiths comes on, and he got a wonderful reception.
That was amusing.
Yeah. And Craig says, I can't imagine what it'd be like coming onto a field with 50,000 people calling you a pedophile. To which I said, you get used to it after 10 minutes.
He can we just nominate him for the Chris Sutton "I don't want to be here at Ibrox" award?
That was one of the questions. Somebody asked, "Have you ever had a? Have you ever seen a worse alter? Oh yeah. Ian Marshall. Have you ever seen a more futile, ill-conceived, and ultimately degrading cameo appearance? Yes, yeah, so the Chris Sutton one.
The Sutton one was, you know, literally catching the ball and playing basketball.
Wait. I just got one booking. Hold on. Let me. Okay. Right.
There we go.
Set me off. Here's the ball. Can you send me off now?
I'm heading off the park. No, it was fun. One day he's going to burst it out if they keep playing him at Ibrox because his head's away anyway. And look, his physical condition, that's not a guy that wants to be a professional footballer anymore. It's just that simple. Listen, before anyone gets on to us, assuming you just hate Lee Griffiths for various reasons, we are just parroting what Neil Lennon said about him, folks.
Right.
Well, see, now, hold on.
By the way,
does Dundee's Gordon Strachan send him back to Celtic's Gordon Strachan, or does Celtic's Gordon Strachan have to request the loan to end from Dundee's Gordon Strachan?
I think, you know, Postecoglou seems, you know, we obviously don't care for anyone who works for Celtic, but he seems a kind of reasonably normal bloke. He ain't letting that guy in the building.
No, there's not a chance in hell.
I do have a correction. Actually, in fact, it wasn't Craig that said that. It was actually Dale, who's a listener of the show. So sorry, Dale.
Oh, Dale Fletcher.
Yes, Dale. Dale said that.
VARs introduced in the SPFL, says Ulster 78. How long before the background of the software programmers is called into question by Insecurity FC? You know, like on a real point here, because I've asked, I said this on Twitter, I've been curious. They can't do it because they can't come up with an agreement on how to place the cameras. Because Ibrox and the Girodome have so many more camera locations than the other stadiums do. Yeah. So they have to come up with like a compromise to say, okay, every stadium has to have like these six camera positions.
Right.
And they can't do it. And also, none of the stadiums are set up to be able to run like the offside line camera.
Right.
Nobody can do it. So
my argument for this has always been, how can we get VAR into Scotland when some of the teams can't afford grass?
Yes. That's the other thing.
You know, quickly, though, to give Livingston praise, giving away the 2,000 tickets to like kids and whatever, that's a hell of a nice move. You see that they had on Twitter, they're getting, for like Christmas or whatever, they're just giving away 2,000 tickets to like at-risk youth programs and stuff like that. So good move.
That is nice, yeah. Plus, we've got 6 points against them this season, and Celtic have got one. Yeah. So,
And I got to think, too, like David Martindale's looking at-risk youth and thinking, man, that's an investment.
That's a market. You're getting an at-risk youth dollar. That's a good dollar. That's a healthy dollar right there.
Yeah.
I don't even know what would hurt more. Ask Grahams. More Grahams. God, so many.
A lot of Grahams.
Bruce Lee's 1-inch punch or John Slater's nipple cripple.
Ooh.
I think, you know, this to me goes back to the old the heart punch that used to get moving in wrestling that looked, you know, pretty. Like it didn't hurt, but obviously it was devastating because, you know, that clearly nobody could ever get up from it. The other one, of course, being the bear hug, the worst move. Basically the I'm tired move, right?
Just Hogan and Warrior doing that for like 20 minutes
back.
20 minutes,
right?
Or doing the hand grip thing.
Yeah. It's the most ill-named move because it has the word hug in it. It's like, it's a hug. It's like bear. Aww. I had a friend of mine who doesn't
just
do
a hug. That's a problem. Yeah,
that's it. I had a friend of mine is no longer does comedy, but this is my favorite joke he ever wrote. It's like, you ever have see one of those words that it is horrible, but it sounds great. This is what I mean. Puppy mill.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the worst move of all time. But clearly, whatever John Suter did, Spock-like ability to just, you know, be near someone and hurt them.
Well, we did have one listener point out that Alfredo Morales' throat cut gesture is always near fatal. So. Mm-hmm.
There's also one I love is I think it's Viggo Mortensen in not A History of Violence, but the other one, the one that was about the Russian mafia. Do you remember that one? I can't remember the name of the movie, but he does this thing. He gets like beat up by this guy, and the move that he does back to him is he puts two fingers, one on either side of his jugulars, and then points at the guy. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, that's horrible.
All right, then we got a very special Onion headline of the week for this week. So nice. I guess because we're running out of time here. Aging stalker, not sure how many good years of crouching in bushes he has left. here we go. Dateline, Rockford, Illinois.
What?
Hey!
What? What?
His joints cracking as he struggled to conceal himself amid the landscaping outside an area home. Aging stalker Jeff Morton reported Monday that he wasn't sure how many good years of crouching in bushes and peering through windows he had left. Quote, I'd best enjoy this while I still can, because lately I get sore after just a few hours of staring between parted branches and observing someone's every move, Morton said from the interior of a myrtle bush, shaking a leg that had fallen asleep as he watched an unsuspecting woman who had once served him coffee undressed for bed.
How is Jeff? You went to high school with him, right? Doesn't he show up at the bar with like knee pads and after a hard day's work?
There are a ton of great Rockford, Illinois contributions to the Onion. the reason why is it used to be printed here. The physical edition was printed
here.
So,
yes.
Yeah. I would just like to point this one out because I think this is a horror that afflicts a lot of people at this time of year, you know, particularly Christmas parties and having to visit relatives. Party evacuated following reports of host assembling some sort of activity. Denver, still feeling shaken from their narrow escape, a local party was evacuated Friday following numerous reports of the host assembling some sort of activity. He started directing everyone towards the living room, and that's when I knew I needed to get out of there as fast as I could, said 29-year-old Christopher Cranenberg, who recalled the panic and fear that broke out across the party after the guests heard the word game and teams and the subsequent mad dash to grab coats and get to the door that ensued. Yep, 100%. 100%.
Gorgeous.
God. All right. That will do it. We don't have scheduling. No, because St. Johnson's Wednesday next week, right?
Yeah, okay.
Week, yeah. All right. So, yeah. So we'll be here Tuesday as usual. So no worries there. We'll get through Leon and Hearts.
Unless David's flight to Perth gets canceled. Yeah. And then, yeah, you know. Yeah,
unmanned drone, in inverted commas, plane that I'm launching to send to drop on Leon. doesn't get clearance.
I will say too, I got the MND thing that we're doing with Hearts this weekend. That's nice.
That's cool. That's nice. Very much so.
Todd, of course, you can find all of his stuff. You go to heyitstva.com or find him on Twitter at heyitstva. What do you got coming?
I got a couple of Christmas corporates that hopefully won't get canceled because of Omicron. I've already had one bite the dust. I have already had one. Yeah. So hopefully those go. You can just follow. Oh, I have a online. You can watch Write 'Em Up. We're doing the Christmas episode. We're actually moving to another platform. There's two friends of mine have a online comedy club called the Unknown Comedy Club. They put on a lot of shows, and we're doing a Christmas spectacular on the 23rd at 9:30. Deets and dates and times and all the lineup stuff is still being finalized. But you can get more details at heystva.com.
Go, Todd, everybody.
God. Pleasure.
Hey. Of course, David, you find on Everything Hard in Hand there at Ibrox Rocks, and you won't find them in France.
I've got
over the next couple days.
I've got fuck all on this weekend. Nothing at all. You will find me at my radiator looking outside going, whew, it's a bit cold out there.
You know the best part? Those cunts in their wine, they came and do it better than they do in California, so fuck them.
Exactly. They're really, you know, as I say, you know me, guys, I'm very tolerant, and I don't want to be xenophobic in any way, but, you know, fuck them, bastards.
Yeah, well, let's go eat another bag, eat another loaf of bread that you can't even bite into, you fucking...
I,
assholes.
From now on, we will only be buying good old traditional Scottish bread. Big fuck off. a baked heart attack. That's what a Scottish loaf is.
Mm-hmm. Can I suggest that you take the loaf of bread from Italy that we'll sometimes get, which will double as an ottoman if you are in a pinch.
Yeah, no, good Scottish white bread that is absolutely how you get sugar and cholesterol into a loaf, I don't know, but we manage it.
It's a sugar cookie.
It's
a shortbread. It's your shortbread you make sandwiches with.
It's about 18,000 calories a slice. And, somebody once said to me, why does that stuff taste so good? I'm like, because it's basically evil in bread form.
Yes.
they just took lard and somehow put a crust on it.
Basically, just fire all this fucking stuff together, you know, Scottish cuisine. It's like, is there any way that we can either hurt an animal or add in something that's bad for you to enhance your dining experience?
It is like when people have chai for the first time. It's like, why is this so good? And why is my ass getting so big? It's because it's 3/4 butter. That's why. Yeah.
100%. Anything good is bad for you. Yes, that's the
exactly. That's like true. This podcast.
Yes. Exactly. If you love it, just like anything else bad for you, you can give it money. So it goes down to the show notes.
Exactly.
But that'll be it. Everybody enjoy the matches this weekend. And, you know, we're just going to keep, like, not conceding goals and winning.
Fingers crossed.
And doing stuff like that. And Gio's just going to keep looking fucking fantastic over there.
Yeah, I got to stop betting on teams scoring against us. Because
we're kind of not doing that as much.
We're not doing that now. And you know what's going to happen as soon as I put the bet on.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. But
you're fine.
That's why. Yeah. All right. We'll talk to y'all next week. Be good. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.